Präsidenten waren Hans Steinkopf, Herrn Snien und Hermann Heddecke. Als Solistin hörten Sie Lili Preissig, Sopran, Elisabeth Waldenau, Alt, Karl Schmidt, Walter, Bariton, Hans Bocke, Bariton und Wilhelm Strunk, Bass, Bariton. Die Sendung ist beendet.
Hello, North America. This is Germany calling. That is the end of the German popular concert. And we're now going to broadcast News in English. Our fourth news bulletin of the day. We are operating over five stations in the 8:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are operating over five stations in the 25, 31, 41, and 49 meter band. Our station DZD in the 28 meter band will join us again in 15 minutes. And here is the news. Today's official German war communique reads as follows. From the Führer's headquarters, December the 28th, the German Supreme Commander announces. In the southern sector of the Eastern Front, the enemy, who had succeeded in making local penetration, was thrown back in successful counterattacks. German, Italian, and Slovakian troops, as well as the SS division Vickel, made up of Danish, Finnish, Flemish, Dutch, and Norwegian volunteers, have again proved their valor. On the central sector of the front, strong enemy attacks were brought to a standstill after fierce fighting. Minor Soviet attacks on the northern sector were also repulsed. On all sectors of the front, the Luftwaffe participated in the ground fighting by carrying out effective raids on enemy positions and on the enemy supply and railway system in the rear. In the Straits of Kerch, strong German bomber and Stuka formations continued their attacks against enemy shipping. Three transports, totaling 2,800 tons, were sunk, and four more ships, as well as a gunboat, were damaged. Last night, German bombers sank a British merchant ship of 6,000 tons off the English east coast. British naval units carried out a raid at two out-of-the-way points on the Norwegian coast on the 27th of December. After short but fierce fighting between the British landing parties and German patrols of the United Army, the British troops were forced to re-embark. German bombers attacked the retreating British naval squadron and sank a destroyer. Another destroyer and a cruiser were damaged. 10 enemy bombers were shot down in aerial engagements, as well as by anti-aircraft fire. When the enemy approached the Norwegian coast, the German patrol boat Fern was attacked by numerous British bombers. After successfully shooting down an enemy plane, the Fern went down in action against a numerically far superior enemy, the cruiser, and several destroyers. Several Norwegian merchant vessels employed in peaceful coastal service were attacked and sunk by the British. In North Africa, the enemy's attacks against German-Italian positions were frustrated. Formations of the German Air Force attacked British aerodromes, supply columns, and camps in the Cyrenaica with good effect. During raids on aerodromes and harbors on Malta, German fighters, escorting the bomber formation, shot down three enemy airplanes. Last night, British bombers attacked Western Germany. The civilian population suffered some casualties, a few of which were fatal. According to reports so far received, 10 enemy bombers were shot down by night fighters and anti-aircraft guns. That concludes today's German war communique. German fighters shot down 12 Bolshevik planes yesterday, according to reports so far received. In the central and northern sectors, squadrons of German bombers effectively attacked Bolshevik columns, troop concentrations, and railway lines. A train loaded with tanks and trucks was destroyed, and six other trains heavily damaged. Two guns and a large number of motor vehicles were destroyed. In the Karelian area, German bombers destroyed a number of locomotives and severed the Murmansk railway lines at several points. In low-level attacks, the German bombers put five enemy anti-aircraft guns out of commission with machine gun and cannon fire. This is Berlin, broadcasting the news. the victorious Japanese naval and army units which had taken Hong Kong marched into the city this afternoon. At 2 o'clock, Rear Admiral Masato Nimi and Lieutenant General Ryu Sakai reviewed a parade of the troops in Kowloon. Accompanied by several commissions, the two Japanese officers crossed over to Hong Kong at the same point, where on December the 18th, the Japanese troops had advanced from Kowloon to Hong Kong under the fire of British batteries. The two high officers then mounted their horses and, at the head of their formation, rode down Queens Road, where for 2.5 miles, the Japanese troops lined the street. Squadrons of airplanes roared at low level over Queens Road while the troops were being inspected. After the conclusion of the military ceremony, the Rear Admiral Nimi and Lieutenant General Sakai received representatives of the population in the residence of the governor. At the same time, Japanese military authorities took over the public installations and traffic system of the city. According to Domei, Japanese troops in their attack on Singapore have reached a point south of the Pohom Line. This line, which was supposed to withstand any attack for at least 3 months, was broken through in exactly 24 hours. The greatest part of the defenders, consisting of about 20,000 Indian troops, has been decimated to a fraction of its former strength. The British retreat evidently was a hasty one because they left behind them 40 tanks, 6 cannon of various caliber, 20 automobiles, and large numbers of other weapons. The battlefield south of the Pohom Line narrows down to a road approximately 6 yards wide. This highway was systematically fortified with bunkers, tank traps, and barbed wire entanglements. It was the only road open for the Japanese, as impenetrable jungle lined both sides of the road. The British had evidently planned to lure the Japanese into this roadway and, after cutting them off from their reinforcements, annihilate them. After the defense line began to crumble, the not over-enthusiastic Indian troops, which had withdrawn, became enraged over the British officers, who had preferred to stay well behind the firing lines. A number of dead British officers, who had evidently been killed by the Indian soldiers, were found later by the Japanese troops. Continuing the news from Berlin. The speaker of the Army Department of the Imperial Japanese Headquarters in Tokyo stated that the Japanese command on Luzon discarded the declaration of Manila as an open city. The Japanese speaker continued by stating that the Japanese troops would not permit this one-sided declaration to interfere with the execution of all measures necessary for the carrying on of the war. The speaker referred to the fact that Manila itself is the nerve center of the Philippine resistance and that the city is surrounded by important military and naval installations. The Japanese army speaker, however, stressed the fact that Japanese forces would limit their attack to military objectives, and nothing would be undertaken which resembled in the least the American that the city is surrounded by important military and naval installations. The Japanese army speaker, however, stressed the fact that Japanese forces would limit their attack to military objectives, and nothing would be undertaken which resembled in the least the American massacre of innocent Japanese nationals, such as took place shortly before the Japanese landing on Davao. The Japanese speaker further explained that it was desired that the Filipino and United States forces remaining at present in Manila should withdraw from the city to 2 points, which the Japanese headquarters named, and which are Antipolo and Contacban. The Japanese army speaker stated further that the Imperial Japanese headquarters viewed the declaration of Manila as an open city as an attempt to arouse anti-Japanese feeling among the Filipinos by involving them directly in the actual hostilities. It is significant, the Japanese army speaker concluded, that the American authorities had issued orders to the Filipinos not to evacuate Manila, notwithstanding the approach of the Japanese forces. The American assets, now frozen in Japan, amount to more than 1,800,000,000 yen. A spokesman of the Japanese Finance Ministry stated yesterday. He emphasized that Japanese assets frozen in Great Britain and the United States had amounted to half that sum. Another strong contingent of French volunteers for the fight against Bolshevism has arrived in Versailles, en route to the Eastern Front, it is reported from Paris. Within the past few weeks, heavy fighting has been taking place on the Finnish front east of Helsinki. In a true spirit of comradeship, Finnish and German troops have struck heavily against the Soviets in the thick forests where ice and snow is deep, and the cold most intense. During the course of these operations, numerous small enemy detachments were completely crushed. During the past 4 weeks, more than 1,700 Bolshevik bunkers and other types of resistance nests, equipped with machine guns and cannon, were put out of commission one after another and totally demolished. Official proof that the fighting had been extremely fierce and bitter. Bolshevik relief operations came to naught when German and Finnish units carried out a number of counter thrusts, which resulted in Soviet retreats and tremendous losses for the Bolsheviks. Thousands of Soviets were left behind on the field of battle, and almost countless numbers of others landed in prison camps. In addition, the Bolsheviks lost huge quantities of rifle, machine guns, trench mortars, cannon, winter equipment, and other war material. Franklin Delano Roosevelt promised peace but brought you war. And this, ladies and gentlemen, ends our fourth news bulletin in English in our transmission for North America. Thank you for your attention. Further news will be broadcast at 10:30 and 12 o'clock midnight Eastern Standard Time. The next news bulletin being due in exactly 2 hours and 3 minutes from now. As I said, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is now. You will be listening to Lord Haw Haw. And in the meantime, I hope you will enjoy a little music.